Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 8th day of January, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Meet Mike Brown, a True Warrior. And as a little side note here, he's the author of the Criminal Defendant's Bible, among many other titles. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumain, welcome to the program. Kumru, Am, Beth. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. We do ask that you remember to keep language on the clean side and also be respectful of the other callers and try not to walk on top of each other. Our website is www.PastorDan, that's all together with no spaces, PastorDan.net. And a couple of verses here. We got Amos 5, 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so Yahweh, the God of armies, will be with you. As you say, hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the courts. It may be that Yahweh, the God of armies, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Meaning our people, of course. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in Yahweh God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many homes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Another quote here with Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. None are so helplessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. And we're waiting for Mike to call in. He has not got here yet. I also wanted to have a few other quick quotes. So bear with me here as I grab that document here real quick. And maybe we've got Mike here just a second. Let's see where we got here. Quotes, okay. And let me just see here. Area code 585. Is that you, Mike?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. We're still waiting for Mike to call in. Let's see here. A couple quotes. This is Democritus. The tyranny of a prince in an oligarchy is not so dangerous to the public as the apathy of a citizen in a democracy. Believe it or not, David Duke said this one here. The truth is that General Soleimani, along with Christian Russia and the courageous Syrian people, kept 3.5 million Christians in Syria from being slaughtered by ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which we know are government-backed organizations. The real evil is the Zionist warmongers who are leading Trump and America into hell. And that's coming out more and more by a lot of the different channels I've been listening to today. Heraclitus, around 500 BC, said that of every 100 men, 10 should not even be there. 80 are nothing but targets, 9 are real fighters. We are lucky to have them. They make the battle. Ah, but the one. One of them is a warrior, and he will lead the others back. Kind of reminds me, if we can find it. Yeah, here it is. Henry David Thoreau said, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. And that seems to be our major problem today is the enemy knows that if they can keep us busy whacking away at the branches, as long as we don't focus on the root. What is the root? Well, every rabbit hole you go down takes you to a Zionist, either by their influence or by their money, one way or the other, whether it's through the media, control of universities, the Congress, etc. Their influence and their directing of things is everywhere. Just saw an update from Guns and Gadgets that the psychopaths in Virginia are actually planning for even more draconian legislation in the very near future. If you go to his YouTube channel, Guns and Gadgets, he can update you. I think it's about a 6 or 7 minute video. It's just amazing. It's in your face. Mike Adams just put out a pretty good article that said that we are catastrophically stupid in this country. We're buying into the nonsense that, you know, gender doesn't matter. Women can do anything a man can do. We're just basically coming apart at the seams is what he's talking about. As scripture talks about, good be called evil and evil would be called good. And so we find ourselves in that situation. It's unbelievable. John Locke told us that government has no other end but the preservation of property. And yet our government today is busily trying to destroy private property, which is a plank of the Communist Manifesto, along with many others. Thomas Paine told us it is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government. Even Ronald Reagan told us, government's not the solution, government's the problem. So even Red Ronnie knew that. Mahatma Gandhi told us, live as if you were to die tomorrow, learn as if you were to live forever. Good advice. Exactly. Live each day as if it may be your last, but never stop learning. You know, there's an old saying that says, when an old man dies, a library burns to the ground. That's a very good old saying. And in my own case, I think about that, how few in my family that stay in touch with me. If it weren't for this radio program, there'd be very few people know what I've studied over these many decades. I started thinking about all the hundreds and, well, actually 1,100 cassette tape lectures, just cassette tapes that I've purchased over the years, lectures by identity teachers, all kinds of teachers, some of them talking about sovereignty, politics, but the vast majority of them biblical knowledge. And then you got DVDs that came out later, VHSs in between, many hundreds of those, plus my own research and study, and then 20 years on the radio and 10 years before that and going to assemblies and personal visitations. I just thought back on all that. So that old saying, a library, because I haven't wasted any time, I study constantly to educate myself because, first of all, I know I'm being lied to. Second of all, how can you be a good leader if you don't know yourself what's going on? You can't trust other people. You have to be educated to know for yourself. How can I teach my children? How can I teach my grandchildren? How can I teach my brothers and sisters in the faith if I don't first learn it myself? The old saying used to be also, you lead by example. And it's so very true. So I'm assuming Mike's having some trouble calling in. A few folks have had trouble in the past, they've told me, with calling in here to a free conference call. I'm hoping, let me check my email here real quick. It sounded to me like he was going to be on time. So I do apologize for the hiccup. But he is quite an individual. I went back and listened to two of our interviews that we did back in 2001 about two of the books that he wrote. It was fun to listen to him again. I'd forgotten some of the things he talked about, and it was almost like it was yesterday. But Michael is a true brother in the spirit and the faith. He's very knowledgeable of the Bible, but he's also a proactive individual. In fact, in the interview back in 2001, he talked about his attempt to blow up an abortion clinic that put him in prison for a while. He didn't hurt anybody. I guess he did damage the building. But they wanted to put him away for 25 years, and he set about learning in the law library to where he was able to extricate himself from the corrupt court system in just over 3 years. So, and he's been sharing that knowledge with unfortunate people that have been attacked by the system ever since. So anyway, it was very good. I hope he's able to call in here. I was looking forward to this chat quite a bit, and I'll be greatly disappointed if we don't get to hear from him. I have to admit that it's been kind of depressing hearing all of the, I guess I got a note that just came in here, all the news about what's going on. It's just unbelievable. Okay, Jim says here, it's not working correctly. When I click on the phone icon, it goes dead. It could be because the phone, I don't know. The phone icon is not for, Well, can't explain that. I don't know. I don't have any messages on the phone or on my email, so I'm not sure why he's not here. Let's see. It tells me to click on icon so presenter can see his screen. I don't need to see your screen. Usually you click on the icon as if you want to participate in the spoken part. If you're just listening, you don't have to click on any icons. Let's see here. Share screen. No, we don't. You don't want to share screen. At least as far as I know. So just ignore that message. There should be an icon that says ask question if you're on a computer. And then again, that's only if you actually want to get on and say something. If you're just listening to the program, don't just ignore all that stuff. Another good quote by one of the men that our founding fathers were. They were quite often as quoting and following his writings was Jonathan Locke, L-O-C-K-E, and he's the one that said, "Any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy." Okay, now mortal means an enemy who wishes to kill you. That's what these government people, these Bolsheviks and shoe leather in government are trying to do, disarm you, which means they have an intention to do something that you would use those weapons to defend. It's as simple as that. There is no other justification for disarmament, okay? All the nonsense they're feeding you about protecting children, safety in schools, that's all window dressing for the Bolshevik to disarm you. Period. There is no other justification for disarmament other than somebody's preparing to do something that you would otherwise use that weapon to defend yourself from. Okay? So again, every time a governor like Northam or any of these other Bolshevik psychopaths is talking on the television or wherever, just picture them in a communist green uniform with the Soviet Red Star, the communist Red Star and the hammer and sickle on it, because that's what they are. They're communists. And generals, colonels, majors, special forces underground, Stephen Barry, all kinds of people have been telling me for a very long time that the communists are working here in this country, and they have been for quite some time. Joe McCarthy was not wrong, okay? Benjamin Friedman was not wrong. U.S. Army General George S. Patton was not wrong. Douglas MacArthur was not wrong. All these people warned us that the communists are here working. United States Air Force General Benjamin Parton, who I got to meet personally and interviewed him three times on this program, said to the audience and to me personally that Oklahoma City was bad enough, but you need to be very careful of the Bolsheviks at work in your country. Okay, so, okay, we didn't heed the warning, apparently, so now we are finding ourselves in the position that we're in at the moment, where the Bolsheviks are attempting to dismantle this republic and disarm us to prepare for what comes next, and I can't believe some people just haven't figured that out, okay? Let's see here. Even Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court Justice, was quoted as saying, as long as judges tinker with the Constitution to, quote, do what the people want instead of what the document actually commands, politicians who pick and confirm new federal judges will naturally want only those who agree with them politically. That's right, because you live in a kakistocracy run by an oligarchy of Bolsheviks, psychopathic Bolsheviks. Hold on a second. I want to see if I can get a text out to Mike and find out if he's going to be on the program or not. So give me just a second. Bear with me. Again, I apologize. Sometimes this happens. Hopefully he didn't forget about the difference in the time zone. I didn't think I had to do that because I made it very clear on my messages I put out that my time that I give is Eastern Standard Time, so any conversions are up to the people, depending on what time zone you're in. Jim says, I thought Bolsheviks were Jews. Well, they are Jews. To me, they're all synonymous terms, okay? Some people, especially anybody listening to this program, should know that that is the case. Bolshevik, Zionist, Talmudist, pervert, traitor, dual citizen, those are all euphemisms for the insidious Jew. All right? So, just depending on the context of what we're talking about, it's all applying to the same people. Henry Ward Beecher said, take all the robes of all the good judges who have ever lived on the face of the earth, and they would not be large enough to cover the iniquity of one corrupt judge. All it takes is one corrupt judge to undo all the good that thousands are trying to do. And now we have the case where the corrupt ones outnumber the good ones, apparently. So again, that's why we're in the trouble that we're in. Thomas Jefferson said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." So today being the 8th, we're only talking 12 days away from the gathering in Virginia, but I have a feeling things could get dicey in the coming week, because as more and more people start to gather in the state and the people already in the state start making preparations for the big rally, things could get kind of dicey there. Certainly keep all of our brothers and sisters that are in Virginia and those going to Virginia in your prayers. We are apparently, according to many of the things I read today, coming to the end of this age. And most of us have known it was going to be a helter-skelter type situation. But I don't think even those of us who have been studying about what's going on in this world could have seen it coming to this end, could have seen it get this bad, and still people be sound asleep. I don't know. I find it utterly amazing that people, anybody, could not see what the hell's going on right now. I don't understand it. How could you not see what's going on right now? We are coming apart at the seams. And again, it's this Zionist Bolshevik insurgency that's behind it. And I just don't understand how people can't see it. Let's see here. Ralph in Canada says, the more I study Soleimani's profile, the more the guy looks like a righteous Patton, MacArthur, Rommel, true warrior to me. Well, that would stand the reason. Okay, he was enticed to go to Iraq on a pretense of a armistice between the Iraqis, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. But is that not exactly how the Bolsheviks work? If you read the book Red Mafia, How the Russian Mob Invaded America, which was written by Robert Friedman, who is a Jew, and in the book, he even tells you that when they call it the Russian mob or the Red Mob, that's just a euphemism for the Jewish mob. And he talks about it in the book, and I spoke with a gentleman that grew up in New York back at the time when little Odessa was there in Brighton Beach, which is covered in the book. Brighton Beach was the headquarters for the Russian Jewish mob invading North America. They later on opened up a secondary headquarters down here in Miami, but they worked out of Brighton Beach. That was their headquarters. Now, this individual I talked with was a young man at the time. He bought drugs from some of these guys. He even remembers talking to one of the guys mentioned in the book, and he asked him point blank, he goes, "You're a Jew, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, how'd you know?" So a secondary witness to what Mr. Friedman said in the book. Unbelievable. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because if you look at how our government operates on so many levels, they operate exactly like the Odessa mob in the Ukraine and over here in Brighton Beach, New York. That's exactly how the mob operates. They have no empathy. They're psychopaths. They have no compassion, no empathy. Anything that gets them what they want is justifiable. You watch that interview by Mike Pompeo bragging about the fact that our CIA is trained on how to steal, to lie, to plant evidence, to blackmail. All the things that you and I are taught are unethical. He's bragging about the fact that your government, your intelligence agencies operate just like a Talmudic, rabbi-driven intelligence agency. Now, add to this the book written by Stefan What's his name? Pinzer, I think is his name. He wrote the book The Brothers about John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles and their secret world war. An excellent book that also goes into the nefarious activities of these intelligence agencies and the fact that the intelligence agencies came into being by Jewish influence. The Dulleses, of course, are Jews. They work for a large Jewish lawyer firm, legal firm in Washington. Okay. They got into power as brothers. Alan Dulles was instrumental in the OSS and later on turning that into the CIA. John Foster, of course, worked in a couple administrations in Washington. Between the two of them, they orchestrated getting these intelligence agencies started when most Americans said, why do we need them? But they wanted them. Why? Because they were able to use the money and power of the United States government and our military, as Smedley Butler, the general for the U.S. Marine Corps, says in his book, War is a Racket, to use our military exactly as you see going on right now. Okay? General Wesley Clark talked about the countries that were in the PNAC document that showed what order they would be taken down in a short period of time. And by God, that's exactly how it is. And the last on the list was what? Iran. It's like, how can you not see the forest for the trees? Ralph says here on the last show, a caller stated Obama gave Iran $150 billion. As I understand it, is a part of the nuclear agreement. Iran was given back the money that had been frozen, that it owed back, that was owed to it. We did not give them U.S. taxpayer dollars. I hope that Soleimani was not sold out by his own government. He may have been more popular with the people than his government wanted. Just a thought. Well, That could be. The point of it is, this is all intrigue. This is all typical of the mob. It's a mob hit. Whether you're talking about the mob that operates out of the Middle East, or the mob that operates out of Ukraine, or the mob that operates out of Miami and Brighton Beach. And now, with their money that they got through extortion, prostitution, drugs, etc., tremendous amounts of money and fraud, they were able to buy themselves into politics. Along with their Jewish banker buddies, they have tremendous wealth, and they bought their way into our government. And you see them everywhere. The Federal Reserve has been chaired and run by mobsters of Jewish persuasion from day one. Roosevelt himself is a crypto Jew, okay? Truman was a crypto Jew. Eisenhower, a crypto Jew. Of course, I don't know how crypto, because if you did any kind of research at all, you could prove it easily. Even in his yearbook at the Academy, Eisenhower was called the terrible Swedish Jew. So crypto only in the sense that they didn't talk about it much in public, but if you did any kind of digging at all, you could easily find out they were all Jew. Trump and Obama were Shabazz Goy. They own the Fed. Yep. I don't know that they're Shabazz, because Obama is half Jew by his mother's side, and there's a lot of people saying Trump is Jewish. Okay, he's certainly in bed with them. His family's tight with him. The Jews love to bail him out. How many times did he go bankrupt and they jumped to his aid and bailed him out to the tune of many, many millions of dollars? Excuse me. So again, you got to be pretty brain dead not to see what the hell's happening here. Man, I'm disappointed Mike isn't calling in. Again, I had heard from him late last night. Guns and Gadgets just put out a red flag pill alert update, so if anybody has a chance to go there and see what that's all about. That's actually a very good channel, by the way, if you want to stay up with what's going on as far as our Second Amendment, Guns and Gadgets. The Repentant Yankee is another fairly good channel. American Joe, I was listening to him, but he's too soft on Trump. And people that are soft on Trump and soft on the Jews, I don't tend to listen to him too much. It's like David Thoreau said, you know, we got 1,000 people whacking away at the branches of this evil tree, and there's only one whacking away at the root, and the root is the Jew. Okay? Yeah, Jim says the CIA needs to be dissolved. Yeah, it does. Well, that's what John F. Kennedy said, and that's why they shot him. That's why they took him out. He was going to shred the CIA and probably the other intelligence agencies. He was also going to issue no interest-bearing U.S. notes. In fact, he had, I believe it was $60 million, which in back in the 1960s, that was quite a bit of money. He had something like $60 million ready to be issued to the banks to get it started. So constitutional money generated by our legislature instead of private banks through the Federal Reserve. So again, if you want to understand what's going on, all you have to do is remember that our government today is operating exactly like a mob. They're not your representatives. I hope you understand that. As soon as a public servant violates his oath of office, he is no longer authorized to be either a sheriff, a cop, a soldier, a politician in our government, any public servant at any level, whether it's county, state, or federal. Doesn't matter. Why the hell do you think that they have to take an oath of office, folks? Think about that now. Why would they be required to take an oath of office if it's meaningless? It's not meaningless. It's because that's the guarantee that they will behave themselves. If they violate the oath of office, they are no longer allowed to be in that position. If they stay in that position, it is under the color of law, which makes them what? A traitor and a spy. That's pretty serious. They've identified themselves as traitors and spies working to overthrow this Christian constitutional republic. As soon as they violate it. So Northam and all of these Democrat and Republican rhino Bolsheviks have identified themselves as traitors and spies amongst us. So that's why I say things are heating up. And I have a feeling we're on our own. I don't expect to see anything good happen out of Washington. I don't expect anything good to happen even at the state level for most of our states. These politicians are in bed together. They all have Jewish shekels stuffed in their pockets to keep their mouths shut and go along with the scam. So you and me, folks, you and me and our Heavenly Father, we're on our own. Now, the good news is one with Yahweh is a majority, and if He be for us, who can be against us? That's what Scripture said. So in that sense, we are more powerful than you can imagine. But the enemy is dividing us by getting us to quarrel with one another about inconsequential issues. Okay, that's why they push the invaders on us to diversify our demographics. They get the men versus the women dynamic going, thus causing a schism between the men and women. So they're trying to divide us on every front because they know if we come together of one accord, meaning of one mindset, we're invincible. We're invincible. And they know that. That scares them. That frightens them. Tommy says here, there's a reason why they hire only corrupt cops today. Almost all active now are low IQ and door kicker happy. Yeah, they get a lot of ex-military. And you're right. I remember a long time ago, I think it was back in either the 80s or the 90s, there was a news report out of Connecticut that two Caucasian men applied to be state police in Connecticut and they were denied because their IQ was too high. Now that set up the small hairs on the back of my neck when I read that. How in the hell is it that two white guys can't be police officers in Connecticut because their IQ is too high? How can there even be a limit on how high your IQ can be to be a police officer? Well, since then, I've talked to many people in law enforcement, family, friends, etc., and there has been a trend to make sure that police officers aren't the kind to question authority, which is what high IQ individuals would do. Because we know we have a moral obligation to question authority. We do have a right to question authority. I got into a very heated argument with a Navy veteran one time at work, making a statement in front of a whole group of us that it's a soldier's job to obey orders no matter what they are. I looked right at him and I said, "That's bullshit." I said, "I can't even believe you say such a stupid ass thing as that. If your commanding officer comes in and tells you to commit rape or murder or theft or whatever, and you do it, then you're just as guilty as that commanding officer when righteous men and women stand up and take down the system," which is about to happen, by the way. That's where we're at. This whole world system, this Babylonian system, is on the verge of collapsing. We are in the book of Revelation right now. Babylon burns what? In a short, your Bible says in an hour, but that's not what it says in the Greek. In the Greek language, it just says in a short period of time. Not, it doesn't say in 1 hour. They didn't mark the days by that kind of a clock back then anyway. So, if you know the correct translation, it makes perfect sense. So, Babylon, which is a built all on this fake fiat currency system, is at the breaking point right now anyway. I hope you know that. I hope you're making preparations for that. Not only the Bible telling you that, but economists are telling you that, and anybody with any common sense ought to be able to tell you that. A $23 trillion debt, and that's what they're admitting to. Trillions of dollars disappearing in the military budget and in the congressional budget, just flippantly telling you, "Oh, we misplaced X number of trillions of dollars." Do you people have any idea how much $1 trillion is? They got you used to saying the word. You don't even have a concept of how much money that is. It's a tremendous amount of money. It's $1 million, okay? $1 million. That's just 1 trillion. $1 million. So where did all that money go? Well, you can do a lot of black ops things. You can buy out a lot of businesses. That's why Christian small businesses are almost gone. The family farmers are being driven off their lands. All these things are going on. Why? Because these people are flush with cash. The Bolsheviks. Why is Russia and China so prevalent? Why are they up in, they're both communist countries, but yet they're our rival. How are they our rival? Communism does not work. It never has worked. Socialism does not work because Western Bolsheviks, in league with the Eastern Bolsheviks, funneled your jobs, your resources, and your trillions of taxpayer dollars over to fund the buildup of Russia and China. Yeah, nice, isn't it? They're supposed to be, we're supposed to watch out for them, but behind closed doors, your own government, traitors, in league with the Bolsheviks on the eastern side of the world, they built them up. Some of us have been on the wall screaming and yelling about this since the 80s. Of course, you were too busy having fun, getting high, getting drunk, chasing women, watching NASCAR, watching sports to pay attention. In fact, I was called un-American. If you don't like it here, leave. I was even called a communist for pointing these kind of things out back in the 80s and 90s. Can you believe that? I was called a communist. Love it or leave it. What? I do love my country. That's why I'm screaming and yelling that we're on a dangerous course here. Oh, I see. What's the scripture say? Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah, that's exactly right. What's it say in Mr. Ravenhill's picture of a prophet? The prophet, while he lives, is scorned, denigrated, ridiculed, lambasted until he dies. Until he dies and everything he warned you about comes true, then all of a sudden he's a hero after he's dead and gone. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. So the watchmen have been out there. They've been trying to tell you, but again, you've been too busy having a grand old time, having a nice party, and just let those words go in one ear and right out the other. A little bit like John the Baptist, trying to warn everybody. And now you're going to watch it burn to the ground. The good news is that those that love the Father and walk with Him and try their best to live according to His law and stay in His good graces, it doesn't really matter what happens in this world. Because we know where we're going, because you can't stay here forever anyway. Okay? On the other side, we have a place being prepared for us. So what you all want to do with this mess you got here, that's going to be up to you. Most of us will be gone. I just can't believe what I'm watching. And what I really can't believe is that there isn't riots in the streets. There isn't torches, pitchforks, and hanging ropes for these outright Bolsheviks. Tommy says here, I have to hop off the call, Dan. We'll listen to the rest by replay. Yahweh bless. Yahweh bless, Tommy, yeah. Another good man. And we've really got cream of the crop that come into the calls and listen to the downloads. I like to think so anyway. Yahweh's holy remnant, His elite guard. And praise Yahweh for them. You know, the remnant that's willing to take a stand and tell the truth even when it's not popular, even when it hurts, even when you're not the popular guy. I want to, if I can find it here real quick, just bear with me for a second. I want to read that picture of a prophet because it's so apropos to where we're at today. It reminds me of the stories of Ezekiel, Elijah, and all the rest of them. And what they went through, you know, you read the story about Elijah hiding out in the cave and asking the Father to basically take his life because he was the only one left and nobody gave a damn. And he, you know, Yahweh went into him and said, Elijah, get off your ass and get out there and do what I told you to do. Because I've got 7,000, which is a Aramaic expression, just meaning many. It's not necessarily literal. But I have many just like you. But if you want to read this picture of a prophet, there's a website, www.raven, R-A-V-E-N, Ravenhill, H-I-L-L, .org, and by Mr. Leonard Ravenhill. So we want to give him the credit for this because it's that good. And this is, again, what he calls his picture of a prophet. Years back, Dr. Gregory Mantle was right when he said, no man can be fully accepted until he is totally rejected. The prophet of Yahweh is aware of both these experiences. They are his brand name. The group, challenged by the prophet because they are smug and comfortably insulated from a perishing world in their warm but untested theology, is not likely to vote for him as man of the year when he refers to them as habituates of the synagogue of Satan. The prophet comes to set up that which is upset or destroyed. His work is to call into line those who are out of line. He is unpopular because he opposes the popular in morality and spirituality. In a day of faceless politicians and voiceless preachers, hallelujah for that, voiceless preachers, prostitutes spewing poison from the pulpit, there is not a more urgent national need than that we cry to our Father in heaven for a prophet. The function of the prophet, as Austin Sparks once said, quote, has almost always been that of recovery. Amen. Recovery. The prophet is Yahweh's detective, seeking for a lost treasure. The degree of his effectiveness is determined by his measure of unpopularity. And then he goes through a list of basically qualifications or identifications. He has no price tags. In other words, you can't buy him off. He is totally otherworldly. In other words, his mind is always on the Father and celestial things. He is unquestionably controversial and unpardonably hostile. He marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of inspiration. He is a seer who comes to lead the blind. Seer is spelled S-E-E-R, basically like a prophet or one who sees into the future, prophesizer. He lives in the heights of Yahweh God and comes into the valley with a, quote, thus saith the Lord. He shares some of the foreknowledge of Yahweh God and so is aware of impending judgment. He lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is, quote, repent, be reconciled to Yahweh God or else. His prophecies are parried. His truth brings torment, but his voice is never void. He is the villain of today and the hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when dead. He is dishonored with epithets when breathing and honored with epitaphs when dead. He is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ Jesus Yahshua, but few make the grade in his class. He is friendless while living and famous when dead. He is against the establishment in ministry, then he is established as a saint by posterity. He eats daily the bread of affliction while he ministers, but he feeds the bread of life to those who listen. He walks before men for days, but he has walked before Yahweh God for years. He is a scourge to the nation before he is scourged by the nation. He announces, pronounces, and denounces. He has a heart like a volcano, and his words are as fire. He talks to men about Yahweh God. He carries the lamp of truth amongst heretics while he is lampooned by men. He faces Yahweh God before he faces men, but he is self-effacing. He hides with Yahweh God in the secret place, but he has nothing to hide in the marketplace. He is naturally sensitive, but supernaturally spiritual. He has passion, purpose, and pugnacity. He is ordained by Yahweh God, but disdained by men. Our nation need at this hour, our national need at this hour is not that the dollar recover its strength or that we save face over the Watergate affair, so that tells you how long ago this was, or that we find the answer to the ecology problem. We need a God-sent prophet. I am bombarded with talk or letters about the coming shortages in our national life, bread, fuel, energy. I read between the lines from people not practiced in scaring folk. They feel that the, quote, 7 years of plenty are over for us. The 7 years of famine are ahead. But the greatest famine of all in this nation at this given moment is a famine of hearing the words of Yahweh God. And, of course, that's a reference to Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Millions have been spent on evangelism in the last 75 years. Hundreds of gospel messages streak through the air over the nation every day. Crusades have been held. Healing meetings have made a vital contribution. Come-outers have come out and settled, too, without a nation-shaking revival. Organizers we have, skilled preachers abound. Multi-million-dollar Christian organizations straddle the nations. But where, oh, where is the prophet? Where are the incandescent men fresh from the holy place? Where is the Moses to plead in fasting before the holiness of Yahweh God for our moldy morality, our political perfidy, and sour and sick spirituality? Hallelujah. Well, again, I did not anticipate this happening because having freshly talked to Mike last night and going over what we were going to talk about, unless there was an emergency, and I sure hope that that's not the case, we'll have to reschedule for Michael to join with us. Another good saying here, we have to remember this one quite often. Once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. How many times have we talked about that despotism is only able to survive due to our fear of resistance? We talk about that quote all the time. The fear of resistance. We have to lose the fear of resistance to resist tyranny. Okay, we've talked about that. That's another good quote. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to Yahweh God. Scripture after scripture after scripture talks about the fact that we are always to resist evil. Always. So, you know, it's not a good situation. This thing with this Iranian general that was done is nothing short of murder. I know you're hearing different stories, but remember, they're just stories. Also, please, folks, please. How many times does this same song have to be played before you realize it's just that, the same tune? Same tune over and over and over. It reminds me on 9/11. I couldn't believe how many people, when that event happened, instantly thought the government story had to be believed. Instantly was ready, and I had a whole group of my relatives at a reunion talking about we need to go over and bomb Iraq into the Stone Age. And I looked at him and I says, what the hell are you talking about? Well, you know, that Saddam Hussein and Iraq and all that, and 9/11, they were mouthing all this stuff off. I said, do you morons know what you're saying? I said, first of all, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. That's been proven for so long, I can't believe there's anybody that even has that notion in their head. Iraq never had anything to do, even remotely. And yet, because of the speech by Bush and the Yiddish speaking half breed Colin Powell, Americans were ready to bomb Iraq into the Stone Age, all based on lies. Okay? Everything about 9/11 has been a lie. Everything about it is a lie. And yet we've been in constant war. We've invaded nation after nation in the Middle East, killed millions of innocent people, all based on lies and deception. And then this event happens in Iran, and everybody goes right back to being brain dead sheep, believing that these morons that get on front of the get in front of the television screen are telling you the truth, even though we go over it year after year after year on how what they're telling you is a lie, that 9/11's a lie, Desert Storm a lie, Syria a lie, Iraq a lie, now Iran a lie. And it's kind of funny how come it is we're so quick to go over and do this to the Arab nations of the Middle East, and yet Israel is guilty of murdering United States military personnel. That's proven. The USS Cole, the USS Liberty, 9/11, and many other instances. They got blood all over their hands. How come we're not, there's no retaliation against the Jews? How come? How come? It's okay to go kill this guy, which means that you just you gave a sentence of death to somebody without a trial, because we're not at war with them, so you can't say it was a military venture. Okay, so we executed a man without a trial. We're all waving the flag. Then why are you not executing the Jews who were responsible for killing our servicemen on those Navy vessels, responsible for the men that have died in the Middle East because of PNAC, the Program for the New American Century, and all of the neocon, which is just another term for Jewish, the neocon war hawks that are just constantly getting us into the war. Do you know how many men and women and have been killed and maimed and mentally ill, and now they're committing suicide at a record rate? Over 22 every single day. Every single day, over 22 servicemen and women kill themselves. We lose more of our military to suicide than we do to enemy. Not a damn thing being done about that. All because these Jews went endless war for endless profit and to secure the greater Israel. That's what it's all about. Simple as that. It's not hard to figure out. And now, because there is a element of red-blooded American white boys that still are armed in this country, and they're afraid that they might actually figure this thing out and do something about it, you've got the Northams of America, the Bolsheviks, claiming they have a right to violate their oath of office. They're actually making statements so bold and idiotic that if we make a law, that makes it constitutional. Is anybody actually going to believe that? You see, this is why the Founding Fathers said only people with qualifications are allowed to make decisions about running the country. Only people qualified. And being 18 years old and sucking air is not a qualification. Being a non-white is not a qualification. In fact, non-whites shouldn't even be voting. Women should not be voting. It should be qualified white men, qualified by age, character, disposition, knowledge, trustworthiness, land ownership, because it shows skin in the game and their ability to be responsible. Only those men get to make decisions. Think how much quicker we could fix this problem if only those men were the ones that we had to worry about. Because the ignoramuses out there that and all of this that comes across the flat screens, whether it's television or computers, it wouldn't matter what all these Bolsheviks do at CNN and all these news agencies and these Bolsheviks in Washington. It wouldn't matter because the educated men are the ones in charge. Folks like yourself that watch us and come to this program, you should be the ones in charge. Because you educate yourself, you understand, you also walk with the Father, you make spiritual decisions. You make decisions grounded on rational, logical thinking rather than emotionalism, which is what the Jew wants. How did the Jews whip up the crowd to murder the Christ 2,000 years ago? Exactly how they're whipping up the crowd today. Nothing has changed. Nothing. Exactly how they whipped up the crowd to murder Christ and turn Barabbas free is exactly how they're whipping up the crowd to justify murdering the Iranian general. And you fall for it. People fall for it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I've said for a long time, I don't know that we have a right to exist. Certainly not as a country. I'm beginning to wonder, even as a race, if we have a right to exist when we're this stupid. This cowardly and this stupid. I really, it's up to the Father, not my decision. Thank God. Because if it was mine, I think I'd push the button. I'd just flush this whole thing right down the toilet. A failed experiment. The other races don't have enough sense to know the Jew is playing them against us, so they're not worth saving. The white race, they're not worth saving. They're too damn stupid and too power-hungry and materialistic to give a damn. The Jew will never change, so might as well flush them down the toilet too. Okay, they're not going to change. But the people that could make a difference in this world and set it straight, they just seem to want to sit on their ass hoping somebody's going to come along and save the day when that's our job. It's our job. That's what we were put here for. Righteous white men called Adam, the Adamites, the Adam, showing blood in the face, red and rosy. Okay? Look at the pictures of Muhammad, the Muhammad that wrote the Quran. Okay? What is red and rosy cheeks? He was a son of Abraham. He was an Ishmaelite. Go look at the pictures of Buddha, and he wrote all the things that are in the sutras, okay? What was he? He was an Adamite, red and rosy cheeks, white man. Confucius, that wrote all the things that everybody says Confucius says. Well, who the hell was Confucius? An Aryan, that's who the hell he was. Sun Tzu, do you actually think Sun Tzu wrote The Art of War was a frickin' Chinaman? Do you actually believe that? Do you believe that the Great Wall of China was actually built by Chinese? Just because it's in that nation today, you think they built it? Just like the pyramids. You think the Arabs built the pyramids? Are you shitting me? See, people can't even perceive a reality anymore. They think because there's a nation with a border there that it's always been that way. They don't even understand thousands of years ago that those borders weren't there. Our people were all over this earth. The evidence of our people being all over the place is everywhere. Archaeologist after archaeologist, I've read the books. The archaeologists themselves admit that academia knows what I'm saying is true, but they're not allowed to say it. Again, Jewish shekels pay them to be quiet. Threats that they'll lose their tenure or that they'll lose their career because they'll be put upon by the Jew. So, you know, nothing new under the sun. Here again, you know, when is the truth going to matter? That's the big question. When is truth going to matter? Unbelievable. But again, I'm not going to go ahead and just ramble on, folks. Again, I apologize that Mike's not here. I don't know what happened. Hopefully he's okay. And we'll have to set something else up at a later time. It would have been one hell of an interview. Mike is a prolific writer, and he has done so many things in his lifetime. Just unbelievable, and he's funny too. So when I finally do get him on here, you get to hear him, you'll find out what I'm talking about. If you want to, you can go to the archive page on PastorDan.net back in 2000, 2001, and 2002. I think we did 4 or 5 interviews, and some of them are up there right now. If you want one that's not up there, I will put it up there. Just contact me. But you can go back and listen to the old interview and learn quite a bit about him. We got Pastor Greg with us here. Let me see if he's interested in saying anything. Pastor Greg, can you hear me?
Brother Dan, praise Yahweh, good to be here.
Oh,
I had to work.
Praise.
I got in a little later than I wanted to.
Oh, praise Yahweh. Well, my friend Mike was unable to call in, so I've been sort of just running over the solo rant.
Brother, I've always got a rant or two buried under the surface. I'm glad I called in. I didn't know if you were still going. I just dialed in, and here we are. And what a time we're living in. I'm glad we had a chance to fellowship earlier today. I much appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. Not a problem. Well, I've been sort of just rambling here for the past hour about different things that are going on and all. Why don't you give us your perspective on where we're at today as far as current events and biblical timeline and all that?
Brother, praise Yahweh, I'd love to jump in. The main thing, I'm in my mid-60s. I've been awakened for a number of years, and all I can say is every day I wake up and I give praise to Yahweh that I was born a white man in this sick world. I suffer from no racial guilt. I have no white guilt syndrome. I realize the white race, we're the divine beings on this planet. And, of course, they want to just call us the most evil haters and bigots that have ever lived, and I understand it. It's a badge of honor to me when I'm called by a Jewish label.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is every day is a new adventure in this weird time we're living in. And if you understand genetics and DNA and, you know, all the years I did shows with Eli James, I came to realize that all the genealogies in the New Testament and the Old Testament were snippets from the Book of Life, where basically, you know how the genealogy used to be something when you were a young Christian, you used to read over real quick, so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
I had a realization, those are the most precious verses in the entire scriptures, because those are snippets from the Book of Life. The Book of Life is, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure it's correct, nothing more than a little snippet from the Book of Life, which is a trace of our DNA back to Adam to the current moment. And our DNA must remain pure. We must not race mix. If you're born white, you can bank on the fact that your ancestors fought wars for thousands of years to remain pure. And anytime someone in our age, whether male or female, succumbs to the brainwashing of the moment and mixes that with another race, that is the most tragic thing in this life, in my opinion, that can happen. I weep when I see it. And yet we've been led to this point where it's been normalized to do such a blasphemous act.
Absolutely.
Probably my last couple of minutes will explain why I don't have many friends anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And why I have trouble dating women. You know, brother, trying to find a woman when you're in your 60s and you see what we see and you ask her a couple questions and I don't know. I'll be single the rest of my life. That much is clear to me. Anyway,
well,
it's a pleasure to jump in and say hello.
One of our listeners wants to know if your job prospects have improved and how is your mom?
My mom is in her early 90s doing amazingly well. I just spent a couple weeks with her back in the Midwest, and she's doing well. You know, Christian identity cost me my marriage. My ex-wife, I was married for 30 years, had 4 children, and tried to share with a complicated Judeo-Christian woman how it was only white people on this planet that Yahweh in the flesh came to save, and everyone else, well, we can discuss it. And that just never quite resonated with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quick story. I could make it way longer, but that's quick enough for now.
Right.
But, you know,
job prospects.
When you and I get together, I don't know that we'll ever do shows on it, but we must discuss women. Of course, we got to start with Eve and go forward from there. And anyway, I don't know. I feel like Yahweh has shown me a lot, and yet the older I get, and the weirder the world has become, the more I just want to kind of back away and not be so out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You understand.
Oh.
Fortunately, I'm not well known enough to be doxxed too much by the powers that be. But I have backed away from doing too many shows. I actually feel like I have a lot to say, but I'm intimidated to get out there publicly. Can do too much. I there's too many internet Jewish sleuths that will hunt you down and, you know, ruin your life if they can do it. What a time we're living in.
Well,
yeah, I wouldn't choose to be alive in any other time but right now. I would not choose to be alive in any other time but right now, because I really feel like we have the chance to see this thing come to a head, to an end. I believe we have the chance in our lifetime to see the return of Yahshua Christ and set up his kingdom on this earth and destroy the satanic seed line people on this planet. They're not really people. I don't know. I struggle to come up with the right term for them. Demonic entities, sons of the evil one, Matthew 13 discusses them as terrors, clearly beyond help. Satanic beings, you know, and as a guy that grew up and was educated and was a former Baptist minister, I told you my story, I was an ordained Baptist preacher, as a Baptist pastor for a while, and it never worked out, and I used to sit there and go, "What? I feel like I'm called to this, but why isn't it working out?"
Uh-huh.
Well, looking back now, I know, but in the moment, I had no clue what was going on. I clearly thought all the problem was me. And I just realized Yahweh was making me learn every lesson the hardest possible way, because I'm a slow learner. And, you know, I used to try to preach the gospel to Negroes, to Chinese, anything with two legs Jesus died to save, I was taught. And I realized eventually how much falsehood is in the Judeo-Christian world. And that was one of the biggest things I took away from the 2-3 years I spent with Eli, going through the various apocryphal books, and Enoch in particular. Enoch prophesied that the final age would be characterized by apostasy. How accurate was that brother's prophecy? It was so spot on. I realized he was a divine prophet. He was as much of a prophet as Moses, as Elijah. His books just weren't put into the book we call the Bible. But they're absolutely inspired, in my opinion, because his prophecy was so accurate. Mm-hmm. We live in the time of total apostasy. I mean, you run into your average person that identifies as a quote-unquote Christian. You know, is there ever a more misunderstood term in the planet anymore than the term Christian?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe the term Jew is... Well,
go ahead.
I'm rambling, brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. But I was just going to say, again, you know, it's a shame Mike couldn't make it, but he had sent me a couple quotes from Enoch, And I know you used to do a lot of the stuff out of Enoch on EFR.
Brother, I love Enoch. What quotes did he send you?
Well, he sent these two. One, this one's out of chapter 98 that says, "In those days the angels or angelos shall descend into places of concealment and gather together in one spot all who have assisted in crime." And then he goes to 83, verse 8, "O my Lord, let the race perish from off the earth which has offended thee, but a righteous and upright race established for a posterity forever. Hide not your face, O Lord, from the prayer of thy servant."
You know, one of the greatest revelations to me when I found, let's just call it Christian identity. I don't even like to use labels, but let's just say we use that term because it identifies what we're discussing. I understood finally years ago that race is everything. And of course, we're taught that race means nothing. Judeo-Christianity would teach you, you know, we're all the human family and Jesus died to save all of us. And, you know, if a black kid wants to marry your white daughter, you know, Jesus died for that black, so who are you to stand in the way? And we have been poisoned with satanic teaching. And yet, out of this, Yahweh's unveiling our eyes to these various truths. And the bottom line, brother, race is everything. Race is the most important thing you have ever been gifted with in this world, to be born into the true race of the 12 tribes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what a revelation it was for me. I had my four-year degree in Bible. I was a preacher and all that nonsense. And when I finally saw it, I realized how much deception. I had everything I was taught, apart from the language skills, I basically had to flush out of my mind. You know, once you grasp the concept that our Savior, Yahshua Christ, came here, really, let's just, can I use the term white race here? Will I be
sure?
I'm just going to use it. Jesus Christ only came here to save the white people and no one else. Now, we can debate the other races for hours, and to me it's an excellent discussion to have. I have pretty strong opinions on them. The Jews are the one race that will be eradicated. The other races will be here. We will dominate them. They are here to serve us. They will do basically the labor in the coming age. We will oversee them. Guess what happens if they get out of line a little bit? It's not good for them. Right now, the order is so subverted that it's hard to see it, but it's there. And you even, earlier today, when you told me when you were walking down the street as a white man surrounded by non-whites, how they almost parted to let you come through. I loved it when you described that to me. This is a little taste of what will happen in the coming age. We will be handed the rod of iron to rule. Those of us that are faithful in this age will rule over multiple cities. We will have rule over thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of other races. It's a complex subject.
Yeah, but here's the one thing people miss, okay? When they hear somebody say something like that, their first impression, because the Jew in the media tells them to think this way, they think that it's abusive. But I'm going to tell you, because I live down here where we're less than 10% of the population, the reason that they call me sir and they're very polite and they step out of the way is because they do not fear me. They know I'm no threat to them. As long as they behave themselves, I'm no threat to them. I'm here to establish law and order. I walk with authority that comes from on high, which is not a threat to honest people. And I believe that's why all through antiquity, our people were looked at as, quote, gods, Because righteous men, when they walked in the spirit of our Father, they were revered as our Heavenly Fathers because we are His representatives. And they knew just by looking, they could look in my eye and see there is no vanity there. There is no animosity to anybody other than an oath breaker, other than a criminal who would do harm to others. But if you're behaving yourself,
well, again,
I am not a threat to anybody.
We're the sons of Yahweh on this planet, we and we alone. Now, it took me a few years to wrap my head around other races referring to themselves as Christian, the Chinese churches, the Korean churches, the blacks, they have their churches. And, you can debate, are they Christians, are they not Christians? I would call them believers in Yahweh. Are they the sons of Yahweh like we are? Not even close, no. But they have a belief in Yahweh. Do they have eternal life? No, absolutely they do not. There's only one group of people on this planet that will be granted eternal life, and that's us, the Caucasian race. We're the continuation of the 12 tribes. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, were the continuation. And all the other races, apart from the Jews, who will be exterminated, and may it happen soon, what a strange time we're living in, where to expound these truths that we're talking about, which I can absolutely pull out a Bible and just go verse for verse for verse for verse and prove everything I'm saying. And if I get into the Apocrypha, it's even become more clear. Enoch lays it out amazingly, as does Jubilees, as does Jasher, as does the 12, Eline I went through with the 12 patriarchs. Their writings are incredible. It's so consistent. And yet all of this has been buried in the current age. So much deception that we're living in now. And yet Yahweh is pulling us out of this fog and deception. And, we have to live carefully. I've already clearly said too much. Thankfully, Greg Howard is not my real name. And
right.
I should have been smarter years ago. Actually, is my real name, but I don't even care anymore. The truth is out there, and Yahweh is opening up His children's eyes to see it. And we're going to see amazing things, I think, in our lifetime, brother. I'm in my 60s now. I think I'm going to see the end. I hope I do. If I don't, I don't. But I just don't know how far off it can be. The world's ready to explode. The truth is out there. The Jews are doing their best to subdue it, yet you think they're all powerful, and all of a sudden you look around and you go, guys are kind of getting your asses kicked here lately. So encouraging.
Well, the truth is out there, and there are tons of people. I listen to a lot of platforms on a daily basis, and I've been amazed at how many that were pretty staunchly Judeo-Christian a year or so ago. They are becoming red-pilled very, very fast. So,
Yeah. Well, let's face it, the internet has brought to us the ability to find out information. And who could have foreseen the power of the internet? It's like the lid has been opened and it can't be shut again. Every mm-hmm. time they try to shut it, the information is out there. It's incredible. Which is amazing. To be honest, I don't think I would have ever seen any of this apart from the internet. I think it was about 15 or 20 years ago, and I was in big pharma for about 20 years and got laid off and had time and was beginning to get into various so-called conspiracy theories. I don't even remember. And I came across a website one time that pointed me to sermons by... what's his name? One of the great Christian identity preachers. I spaced out, I can't think of his name.
Bertrand Comperet? Wesley
Thank
Swift?
You. And that's it. Bertrand Comrie. And I begin to read his sermons, and it resonated with me instantly. I just thought, wow, here it is. I think the very first one I read was something along the lines of the white race are the true Israelites. And I thought, yeah, whatever, you know, clearly I've been taught the Jews are God's chosen people, but, you know, let's just take a look at this. And I begin to read it. And Yahweh just opened my eyes and I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately after that, I saw the revelation where the Jews were not only not the chosen people, but they were the satanic seed line on the earth. I saw it almost literally back to back within an hour. And I've never been the same since. I saw the truth of it. I saw that there is a seed line on this earth that originated in the garden, that has their first act upon this earth was to murder Abel, Yahweh's chosen seed. That was the first thing that was recorded, really, that they did, murder of one of us. And they've been at it ever since, you know.
Right.
They've never ceased from doing that, have they?
No.
Cain murdered Abel, and they've just been getting better and better and better at doing it ever since the Garden of Eden. But I saw it, brother, and I don't give myself any credit at all. Yahweh just showed it to me, and I just realized there's two seed lines on this planet, and the righteous seed line is in Genesis 3:15, the evil seed line in Genesis 3:15, there's hatred between the two of them. Unfortunately, their hatred is far more advanced toward us than ours is toward them. But we're coming around. We're slow learners, let's face it. We don't catch on quick. But once we catch on, they look out for us.
Rudyard Kipling wrote that in his poem, When the Saxon Learns to Hate. It takes a lot to get us riled up. But when we get there, look out. Katie barred the door.
We are slow learners, are we not, when it comes to that? But yet, Yahweh's preserved us in these final days, and we are waking up to who the enemy is and who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, first of all, we have to see who we are. Then we see who our enemy is, and then we're ready to go to war. And I don't think that war is very far off.
No,
we're
in the advanced stages of the war. This is the ideological part of the war. This is the Thomas Paine and common sense prior to George Washington drawing his sword. That's where we're at. And, in Genesis 3:15, the scripture uses the word enmity. Enmity, according to the dictionary, is a deep-seated ill will, a feeling of hostility from a person, which is exactly
it's an excellent word study. Yeah.
Yeah.
There shall be enmity.
Right.
Yeah, that's an outstanding word study. It's a deep word. It's a complex word. It's hatred. It is true, literal hatred.
Right.
And, of course, Judeo-Christianity teaches we shouldn't hate. But true Christianity, which is so hidden in the world right now, it's hard to find it. But it exists. I think we're having some true Christianity right here, by the way.
Yeah, we are.
True Christianity. Brother, I have a hatred toward the evil seed line that's so intense. Wow, it's pretty hardcore. I can't even really tell you over this open line what I'd like to do. I think you know without me saying it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I wanted
it's
to give
coming
a couple,
up soon.
Yeah, some verses that you, me, and the listeners need to keep in mind as we prepare for battle. Here's a few of them. Psalm 64, verse 2, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the violence of the workers of iniquity. And, of course, number one on that list is the perfidious Jew. Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed against you will prevail, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of Yahweh's servants, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahweh. Now, here's a critical one, folks. This is what I've relied on my whole 20 years on this radio. First Chronicles chapter 16, starting at verse 21. He allowed no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sake. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. Hallelujah.
Brother, do you have a Bible in front of you?
We have. Huh?
Oddly enough, I do not. Do you have a Bible in front of you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do.
Can you read Psalm 144, verse 1?
Psalm 144?
Verse 1.
Okay. 144, coming up. Verse 1 is, Blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle, my loving kindness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me.
Amen.
Oh, that's the first two verses.
Yahweh is a God of war. It's not a God of peace. And we have a time of war coming up, and our people should be excited about it because it will bring this foolish nonsense to an end. And, I mean, we were taught to pray that Yahweh's kingdom should be brought to this earth. When was the last time somebody knocked on your door, a well-meaning but completely misguided Judeo-Christian, that said, you know, if you died today, Dan, do you know if you'd go to heaven? You know what my response is to that, normally?
Show
me one verse in the Bible that says if you die today, you go to heaven. Show me one. Show me one.
Right.
They cannot. Our destiny, brother, is this earth. Our dominion will be on this planet. Heaven is not for us. A couple of us got to go there. Elijah went there. Enoch went there. Moses went there. We're not going there. Our destiny is here on this planet to rule as kings and priests for eternity on this earth. And that's why I don't know. The older I get, brother, I'm getting kind of hardcore. I don't kid around anymore.
Mm-hmm. I got another psalm to add to the one we just read.
Go, please.
Yeah, Psalm 149. Now, this is a short psalm, but listen to this. Praise Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. That means called out ones. That's us. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Yahweh God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. All his saints have this honor. Praise Yah.
Brother Yahweh, he's a God of war. War is coming up. Don't you feel ready? You know, we all want peace, but war is approaching. I'm preparing for it in multiple ways. You know, I don't know. I'm in my 60s. I do what I can. All I know is this. When the time comes, Yahweh will strengthen his elect on this earth. And I just don't know how much longer he's going to put up with the subversion of this earth by the seed line of Cain, the seed line of the fallen angels. One of the greatest revelations I ever got in this life was when I understood what went on in the Garden of Eden. I have a 4-year degree in Bible. You know what they taught me in Bible school, what happened in the Garden of Eden? An apple fell off a tree, Eve took a bite, she disobeyed God, and man fell into sin. Really? that's what they teach. And, you know, that's when I finally saw the truth, and I think it was a Bertrand Comparé message that showed it to me, where Eve was physically seduced by a fallen angel, and he impregnated her, and she gave birth to a satanic being, Cain. And Cain manifested his evilness by what? Killing Abel. And I realized there is a satanic race of beings on this planet, because Cain's race has been reproducing from that time forward to this very moment. And I believe the top seed lines of the evil race on this planet can probably trace their lineage literally back to Cain. I have no doubt they can do it. I'm sure of it. They have their own, I wouldn't call it the book of life, but they have their own book of their lineage. And our book of life is our lineage traced back to Adam. And once Cain killed Abel, then the lineage came through Seth, and it came forward. And all the genealogies in the New Testament are just snippets of the book of life. What else could the book of life be?
Yeah,
it's all DNA. It's are you a pure-blooded white man or white woman traceable back to Adam? There's the book of life right there.
Right, and people get caught up with trying to make Bible the words in the Bible literal, and many times it's allegorical. Okay, just like with Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. A lot of it is allegorical. So when sometimes you get there and go, well, how can that possibly be? Well, it's allegorical, dumbass. Think about it. Not everything is literal. There's a lot of idiomatic expressions. Now, you mentioned the mark of Cain, which is interesting. I just found another book to add to my long list of recommended reading. Guess what the name of this book is? The Mark of Cain: Psychoanalytical Insight and the Psychopath by J. Reed Malloy. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, right there he's talking about the mark of Cain is his psychotic behavior. It's not just the countenance of their face, folks. It's their psychotic, psychopathic behavior.
Well, that's interesting, because the mark of Cain originally, you know, Cain said, whenever someone looks upon me, I can't remember the rest of it, but the mark of Cain was clearly a physical manifestation of his evil. And when you look upon someone today who's a Jew, there's a physical appearance there. There's, whether it's the nose, whether it's the forehead, whether it's just the facial structure. And we have to realize it's been watered down now through millennia of race mixing. Imagine what it was in the original mark that Yahweh put upon Cain.
Well, you know, it must have been
hideous.
Yeah.
What?
You know what? A good example came to my mind while you were saying that is Adam Schiff. Okay. When you look at Adam Schiff, can you not tell that guy?
The bizarre visage of them. There's a physical manifestation that is unmistakable. They're just something.
Right.
They stand out to you, you know. And
when you look at a Rothschild, or if you look at a Larry Silverstein, or any of these other monsters, Harvey mm-hmm. Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein,
right.
All these Steins and Childs all have the mark of Cain. They have that look of
absolutely
dementia and psychopathy.
No doubt about it. It's physical. It's not just and the way we understand them probably better than anyone on the planet understands them, because we've kind of cast off the social nonsense of, you know, we're all the same and there's the human race, and you know, we've thrown away those constraints where we can look at race objectively and really see things for what it is. There is a physical manifestation, this mark of Cain. And I always tell myself, they have tried to erase it by millennia of mixing their race with other races to try to water it down. So I can only imagine what it was originally when Yahweh put a mark upon Cain. Who knows? Maybe he had a 2-foot hook nose. You know, who can tell? But yeah, you see Jews even today, if you have understanding, don't they just leap out at you? You look at them and you just go, oh, there's a Jew. Yeah, yeah, there's a son of Satan. You can see it. It was put there for that Yahweh's children could recognize it. It's a warning. There's a son of the devil right there. That one carries the seed line of fallen angels. The fallen angels seduced Eve.
Yeah, it's a serpent seed line. And when you do a word study in Genesis about what Eve did, if you get a Brown Drivers and Biggs, one of the hardbound dictionaries, you can't do it with the electronic ones. This is why I'm glad Yahweh led me on my search for truth before the computer age, okay? Because I had to do everything with hardbound books. Well, what you find out
I'm
is
a book guy,
got...
too, by the way. I'm in my 60s, man. I'm a book guy. I have a couple thousand books in my library.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I remember the days when books were all there was, and I always have loved books. I still love books.
Well, the point of it is, in the hardbound copies of the lexicon of Hebrew, the words used in those verses, it says right there, like the word akal is to sexually seduce. And they translated it eat fruit. It was the fruit that was talked about there was the fruit of what they did, which was having a bastard child. That was the fruit of their union. And when it says he deceived her or seduced her, it was akal. And akal in the original Hebrew has the meaning of sexual connotation. So right there, even for somebody like a layman like myself, with just armed with a Brown Drivers and Biggs lexicon, you can tell that it was a sexual sin, and yet not one English translation has it right. One of our listeners sent in a reference to Luke chapter 3. At the end of it, it's going through the genealogy of who we are, and the very last verse is, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of Yahweh God. So we are literally his offspring on this earth. We have the power.
Absolutely. And to me, and I have grown to love the genealogies in the scripture. You know, let's face it, when we were young, we didn't know much. We'd come to him, so-and-so begat so-and-so. We just kind of buzzed through it. Now I'm so clear. Those are the most important verses in all the Bible because they establish racial purity and how critical it is. And it explains the current moment we find ourselves in where race mixing is just thrown at us from 100 different angles. Every time I stupidly watch television for even a couple minutes and a commercial comes on and I see, oh, here's a white family, or here's a white woman with a black husband and 4 or 5 race-mixed children, and they're all sitting around happy. And I just realized the seed line of Cain is still actively seeking to destroy our DNA. They have never gotten away from that strategy. It started in the garden where the angel seduced Eve, and Enoch details it. That's why one reason I love Enoch. Enoch details the seduction of Eve by the... actually, he names the angel as Gabriel. Whether that was the specific manifestation of Satan at that time or it was just one of the fallen angels that came to earth, I don't know. But it details that Eve was physically seduced by a fallen angel. And she was impregnated and she gave birth to Cain, and that seed line is with us to this very moment, and Matthew 13 is the Yahshua Christ obviously knew what was going on. That's a given. And he talked about the sons, you know, the tares and the wheat, and the tares were the sons of the wicked one, and the wheat were the sons of Yahweh. And they would fight till the end of time, and I mean, these creatures have taken over the world, yet their power is becoming more and more obvious, Yahweh's preserving his elect. Brother, we live in an amazing time right now. I love being alive right now. It's frustrating. I live in a weird state. I live in New York. But I don't know. Yahweh's put me here, and I don't know. I guess somebody that sees what we see has to live up here, I guess. I don't know how long I can take it up here. They want to vaccinate me. They want to take my guns away. They want to make me worship sodomite marriage. We got all kind of issues going on up here. I'm thinking I need to move south one of these days. Plus, it gets cold up here a lot too. So, and we old guys don't like cold. Yeah, you know, you live down where it's warm. It was like 20 degrees today with snow and blizzards.
Oh,
I struggle with that.
Yeah. It's well, you're right. You know, I'm down where it's warm most of the time. Don't have to deal with that. But then down here, I got to deal with the fact that there's only 8% white, and you've got all these invaders to deal with all the time. So no matter where you go, you got
8%
to deal with.
Wow.
Yeah, we're down. When I got here, we were like 15%, but in the years that I've been here, we're down to less than 10%. I think it said 7 or 8%. And it feels like it because they're driving us out. Even here in the community where I'm at, it's always the company that bought out the original owner, who was a European guy, some big company, which you can imagine the CEOs and the people that run it are all Jews. They're doing everything they can to drive the Europeans out and make room for Section 8 housing, which will all be Latino and Black. That's common.
I don't think there's anywhere on this planet, Dan, that our race is not under attack anywhere.
No.
We're probably under attack everywhere we are in any kind of number on this planet. The Jew has marshaled... You know, one of their skills, among their many satanic skills, is whipping up hatred of us among the other races, lying to them. I mean, you know what kind of shape this planet would be in if we were never here?
It'd be
a nightmare. Yeah, and yet we are basically hated by pretty much every race out there.
It's jealous.
Because the Jew directs them to hate us.
Right.
You know?
And here's the best thing of all to counteract somebody that says the Jews are so smart, because I have a lot of my friends that parrot that complete canard. No, they're not smart. And here's how you know why.
Yep.
If they were smart, they wouldn't have to steal all of our ideas, just like Einstein did in the patent office, just like the Jewish president of RCA Records stole the design for a picture movie camera from the boy that was able to figure out how to make it work out in the Midwest. He was just a teenager, and he was able to figure it out where doctors, PhDs, scientists, engineers, they couldn't figure it out. Well, this kid figured it out, and the Jews stole his patent, and when the family...
Yeah, they don't have intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. The family took him to court, and thanks to his... science teacher who had a copy of his drawing showing that how to make it work, and there was a date on it, and the teacher went to the trial. They won in court that this was a patent violation, and you know what the RCA Records did? They brought in all these Jewish lawyers, and they paid them to tie it up in court for the next 20 years until the patent ran out.
Sure.
That's how they do things.
Well, they've mastered the legal system.
They're monsters.
You know,
they're not smart. They're dumbasses.
No,
if it weren't for our people, there would be nothing.
Would
be nothing.
They're not innovators. The only innovators on the planet are us.
You know,
the Chinese are replicators, and the Jews are thieves of our ideas. And we are the innovators on the planet. And who else could be but us?
And, you know, shortly after I learned this message, I had an actual case at work where this was proved out to me. I was working in a set of trailers with a bunch of procedure writers, And we're working on maintenance procedure writers. Well, in the same trailers, only on a different section, was corrective actions guys, mostly engineering type guys. And the guy that was over them was a Jew. This happens in the power industries quite a bit. Either Indians or Jews are almost always made project managers, even though they don't know shit about what goes on in the plant. So,
of course, yeah.
The Jew, I can't remember, I think his name was Sal, but I can't be sure of that. But anyway, one day I was coming from the plant, and I'm outside walking across the gravel towards the doors, and I run into Sal coming my way, and he says, "Dan, can I talk to you?" And I said, what's up?" And he said, "Well, I would like you to come work for me in corrective actions." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "I like to get the smart guys. I like to get the best guys to come work for me." So he's trying to flatter me. And I said, "Well, you know, I appreciate that you think that." I said, "But I signed a contract to write procedures for the maintenance group. I'm not going to violate that contract to come work for you." He goes, "Oh, really?" And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." So right there was a second witness to what we're talking about, okay? That's how they operate. They try to cajole, bribe, entice us to work for them. In fact, I had a very smart white guy here not more than a month or so ago tell me, when I tried to tell him about Jews not being that smart, he says, "Well, you know, I have a hard time with that because I've made a lot of money with Jews." I said, "Who made a lot of money with Jews?" I said, "From everything you've told me, you did the work. They made the money sitting there letting you work for them. So, yeah, you got to make some money, but who made the lion's share of the money off of what you did? They did."
Right. Yeah. They don't invent things. They don't innovate anything. They basically are thieves that take our ideas, and they have a hive. You know, you have to give them credit. They have a hive mentality, a hive mindset, and they know how to make money. Of course they do.
I mean, well, it's not hard to do when you're criminals and you're willing to lie, cheat, steal, bribe, threaten, blackmail.
Yeah.
Of course.
And your brethren own the financial institution
exactly.
In almost every country in the world. Which blows
caller.
My mind that...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it blows my mind that we allow them to run the so-called Federal Reserve Bank. We must have been out of our mind to allow that to happen.
We don't allow. We don't have any control anymore. That's what Americans need to... White America needs to wake up. We have no representation in government anywhere. We don't allow any...
Yeah, nowhere.
It's forced down our throats.
Nowhere. No one represents our interests anymore.
Right. We got a caller from area code 585. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Pastor Dan. It's Cody from New York. Long time no see.
Boy, yeah, Cody. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah. I'm still here. I'm still listening. Just been busy and everything. But I just wanted to say, yeah, you're not the only one. I think it's Pastor Greg, is it?
Yeah, Pastor
from
Greg.
From New York. So I'm going through the same kind of bullshit in this state, you know, the vaccines. I'm trying
did
to
you say you're 585?
Yeah.
585 area code?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my area code, young man.
Really? Yeah, like I was saying, I heard you say that. So, you know, I'm going to call in because you're not the only one up here. You know, that's awake. So,
well, it's got to be a small number. Living in Jew Yorkistan.
yeah.
Anyway, I'm encouraged to know I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's all. I just figured I'd call and let you know that. You know, I'm kind of going through the same thing. Like,
so what do you think about what Brother Dan and I have been discussing? I mean, do we seem like a couple of Nazis to you, or you kind of see something?
No, it's all the truth. Like, I've been listening to Dan for, oh my gosh, years and years and years now. So,
excellent.
He's the one that woke me up, really. Thank Yahweh for that, because he's the one, you know, he made a lot of sense when I first heard him, and I just kept listening, and I did some research and studying and stuff, and, you know, I said, yeah, you know what, he's right. And I just, ever since, So I think
if you're area code 585, somewhere in the next day or two, send Dan an email with your contact info, and maybe you and I can hook up for a brewski.
Yeah, that sounds fine. I will. Yeah, I'll send an email. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, Cody. Yeah, thanks. And you know what? That's actually, it's like almost an answer of prayer because Greg and I were on a phone conversation not long ago, and he was saying how he longs for fellowship, and then out of the blue, you decide to call in. Tell me our Father doesn't work in mysterious ways, huh?
Wow.
Apparently so.
Yeah, like I said, I'm listening.
I seem like one that learns all these lessons the slowest possible way, but you know, my area code is 585, so anybody with that area code is close to me. So, yeah, check in with Dan if you don't mind. And yeah, we don't want to do it over the air, but give him your contact information. He'll make a connection.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. All right,
guys. All
right,
Cody. Thanks a lot for calling in, buddy. Yahweh bless you.
Yeah, Cody. Good to talk to you.
All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, take care. All right. Superb. And, you know, the irony of that is that You have not called in quite some time, and this is the first time I think Cody's called in a long time, and you both picked tonight to call in. I think that's providential. Especially... especially with where we're getting ready to go, because things are going to get very dicey in this country in the very near future.
They have to be. It cannot keep going the way it's going. And not something dramatic happen.
Right.
It just, you know, the division between the conservatives, I don't even know what the terminology is anymore. I've lost faith in any politician to ever do anything good, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Obviously, the Democrats are Satan's children, but the Republicans are so weak, they can't get anything done either. I have no faith in any politician to do anything good anymore. Right. Nothing. I don't trust any of them. Maybe it's just because of the state I live in, it's so corrupt, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Republicans are better than Democrats, but I don't trust any politician. They're so seemingly open to be bought off by somebody. I have no trust in them. The whole system is corrupt. I mean, the so-called democracy is just so open to corruption by Jews. It just, I don't know. Brother, I await the theocracy in the coming age. That's what I await.
Yeah, well, this is our Father trying to get our attention that you asked for it. Our ancestors many years ago said we want a king like everybody else when we had our Father, and this is the punishment. So our ancestors brought this on our heads. And now it's taken all this time to get to this point where, and I'm going to tell you, to be quite honest, that there's a lot of nights I pray sincerely for Father to take back control and to stop this whole nonsensical thing of man being able to govern man. It has not worked.
Yeah.
We're not capable.
We cannot govern ourselves.
We can't.
I don't think we're capable of it in this age.
We can't. We have to have him govern us.
Well, you look at how it's laid out in the coming age, where Yahshua Christ will be the king, but yet we will be the also given authority over localities, the overcomers will. But we will be obviously looking to Yahweh and Yahshua Christ for authority, for guidance. They don't really give it a ton of detail. But it's a big enough clear picture that the system we have now will be way gone, and it will be a theocracy with powers delegated to certain individuals over localities. And, you know, the localities will be regulated by us, and we will have a rod of iron to rule with.
Right.
There will be none of this nonsense that goes on now.
Oh, that's right.
I mean...
But it's only our people who put themselves in submission to the Father will be given that kind of power. Right.
The submission in this age is our training to rule in the coming age, is it not?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yes, and, you know, deep down, don't you feel a sense that you want to rule now, that you feel like you could rule now, but yet you're not given the opportunity to rule now? This is our training.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
to be honest, yeah, you're right. I've felt that way for decades. That, you know, why am I not in charge?
Well, that's why I think the military is a good example. Nobody becomes a general right off. They go through the ranks. You know,
right. All
the generals started out as second lieutenants, most of them, and they were nobodies. They had a butter bar. They, you know, they were afraid to mouth off to a high level enlisted guy. And yet years and years and years of taking orders eventually qualifies them to give orders and to
rule. Right.
And yeah. And it's the same way with us. Right now, we feel like we're the sons of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I feel like I could rule now. But I don't even have, my own cat won't obey me. My cat won't come when I call him, you know?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, that's
nobody obeys
there. Right, right. In the kingdom, you're not going to be ruling over cats.
I know, but we are learning to rule by being ruled over. Even by being subjugated by our enemies, we, in a way, are being trained to rule with mercy, with compassion, and with force when it will be called for. Yet with restraint. And it's a hard training. And most of the time, it's kind of cloudy and you don't see it clearly. But yet, once in a while, I realize, this life is so frustrating. Yet it is training us to rule and reign in the coming age, the kingdom age, and the coming age on this planet. I referenced that earlier when I, once in a while, come across a quote-unquote born-again Christian out preaching the gospel to the sinners who will ask you, you know, if you died tonight, Greg, will you know you go to heaven? And that's when I always go. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a smartass. I know these people have a good heart. And if they're white, I'm instantly merciful toward them. And I go, you know, can you show me one verse where if you died tonight, you would go to heaven? One verse. Show me one verse that says you will go to heaven tonight. There's no such verse.
Mm-hmm.
There's various verses that talk about eternal life. And then I say, okay, well, you've shown me the duration of that life. You have not shown me the location of that life.
Right.
Well, you know, the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I said, okay, is paradise heaven? Or is paradise in the earth where the souls go when we die, where we sleep? Enoch details this in great detail. Paradise is in the earth. And I'm not trying to mess with these people, but there's so much false teaching out there. It's incredible how much false teaching there is.
Yeah.
Our destiny is this planet and to rule and reign here.
Well, think about this.
Let me ask you a question. All right, here's a fill in the blank. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the what's the answer?
Earth.
Earth.
Right.
Our inheritance is ruling and reigning here. Heaven is the angelic realm. This earth is where we will spend eternity, and this earth will be reborn at the end of this age when all the evil is purged and the enemies are destroyed and the other races are subjugated and put back in the place where they belong. And if they get out of line, we got the rod of iron. And let me tell you, they will fear us. You think they fear you now? Brother, you multiply that times 1,000. You look at them, they will quiver. There will be very little disobedience in the coming age because once in a while, when it rears its head, it will be put down so violently, they will never, ever do it again. They will realize.
Amen. That's why it means.
Man.
That's what it means when it says a rod of iron.
That's it. Well, you know, Revelation talks about Yahshua Christ having the rod of iron, but the other verses discuss the overcomers also ruling and reigning with the rod of iron.
Yes.
And we will have the name of Yahweh put on our head. We will be His children, His kings, His rulers on this planet.
You know, there's another...
That's really what was meant to happen from the beginning, was it not?
Yeah, there's another...
We're living in this bizarre interlude where maybe someday we'll get into how women have brought us to this point. Had Eve not been so easily seduced, she was probably, whatever they had back then that would be the equivalent of her texting on her smartphone while wearing her yoga pants, and the fallen angel showed up and did his little seductive thing, and her legs opened, and bang, here we are. And, you know, I don't know. We're living in how bizarre the world is, Brother Dan, and yet I think we're going to see the end of it soon. But the seed line on the earth that hates us, Genesis 3:15, there it is. You know, I went through 4 years of Bible school, and not a single time I look back did anyone ever expound to me Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 is without question, without even debate, the most important verse in the entire 66-book Bible. I can't even think of a verse that's in second place. Genesis 3:15 is that important. And no one ever spent 10 seconds to break that verse down to me. Not once.
Right.
Entire history of the world is broken down in Genesis 3:15. Two seed lines on this planet, they hate each other. One seed line will win in the end. One seed line will get its ass kicked. The other seed line will destroy the other seed line. We'll kind of get our ass kicked a little bit, you know?
Amen.
But we win in the end.
Yeah. Ralph wants to know what your thoughts are on marriage and childbirth in the kingdom. And then he says maybe Adam would have been better off with a sex robot. Lots of laughs.
You know, as complicated as women are, I was lucky enough to meet one early. I had four children. I brought four white children into this world. And then when I found Christian identity and tried to share it with my Judeo-Christian addicted wife, she accused me of following Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And our marriage just blew up. It was a little rocky anyway. But when I began to see and understand race and how race figured into Christianity and how Christianity really is race. You know, I mean, what is Christianity? It's being born a white man or a white woman and having faith in Yahshua Christ. If you're born any other race and you have faith in Yahshua Christ, I don't know what that is. I would just call that an animal believing in a creator. That sounds harsh, but that's just how I see it. Are they really Christian? No. Can any other race besides us become true Christians? Absolutely not. Now, they can declare a belief in a creator, and I respect that, you know, and maybe there's some reward for them. I don't believe that any of them have eternal life in any sense of the word. Maybe in the coming age they have a prolonged life. I don't know. But none of them are going to partake of the true blessings of the kingdom like we are. Otherwise, the whole Bible's a lie. The Bible portrays a particular seed line of people, and seed line is race. Brother, I'm very politically incorrect. I love talking about race. I love being white.
Mm-hmm.
I love being white. I like, you know, sometimes when I'm invited to a social gathering, which doesn't happen that much anymore for some reason, I like to bring up the topic of race, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just go, you know, I'm just thankful I was born white. I like to see people's reaction when I say that. I'm seeking some kind of somebody's nodding their head like, wow, yeah, man, me too. Most of the time, people's heads explode and spin around and go, wow, you're kind of a bigot and hater. And I go, well, not really, but if that's what you think, then that's okay. I don't care.
I like to talk to people like that and go, well, then how come you don't have a problem with the rabbis and the Jews that have come out over the last couple of years talking about the white race needs to be eradicated and that every race was put here to be their slaves? Why don't you have a problem with them?
Yeah. I mean, I've just reached this point. You know, you get older, you don't care anymore a little bit about what people think about you. You know, when you're younger, you really kind of care. But once you get a little older, you just realize I don't want to go around offending people on purpose. But if I speak something of what I know is the truth and I offend somebody, I'm 100% okay with it. I'm trying to wake them up. I'm doing it for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to give them a little smack in the mouth and saying, does this show you something? When I tell you that I not only do not have any white guilt, but I praise my creator, Yahweh, that I was born into the white race. Because the white race is the divine seed line on this planet. And apart from being born into that race, there is no salvation for anyone. You know, and these truths are very direct, and obviously you pick your spots to come out and say such things, but I realize it, and brother, I mean, you know, remember John chapter 3, one of the most misunderstood verses, I think, in the New Testament, where it's translated where Jesus was discussing with Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And entire denominations have sprung up around this concept of being born again.
Mm-hmm.
That verse drives me crazy. That translation actually drives me crazy, not that verse. I love that verse. I hate the translation, the concept of being born again. That's not what that verse says. That verse says, unless a man is born from above, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And I did a study on that. What does it mean to be born from above? And you know the conclusion I came to? I'll just put it into a paraphrase statement. Unless a man is born into the white race, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Because that's what it means to be born from above. What else could it mean? When Jesus was discussing in John chapter 8 with the Jews, and he said, you are from beneath, I am from above. It's the same concept. He was divinity, he was divine, and he was conversing with beings that were satanic beings, those that he referred to as being born from beneath. And I realized, who was he talking about in John chapter 3? This concept of being born again is a heresy. We should erase that mindset from our minds. Should never use that. Should never ask him, are you born again? Forget that terminology. What he's really saying, unless a man is born into the holy divine seed line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is what he's saying. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's talking about. Unless you are born into the Caucasian divine race, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And it took me years to wrap my head around that. And I'm probably freaking some people out that are listening to this, but I'm just telling you, there it is.
Yeah, there's logic to this, though. There's logic to this.
Absolutely there is.
Many centuries, Christianity was called the white man's burden. Even scripture talks about the law not being given to anybody but his own children. And it
just, there's hundreds of verses that discuss the exclusivity of this faith to one group of people.
Right.
This concept that it was for everyone, it only really came about in somewhere around the middle of the late 1800s, when the Jews began to infiltrate Christianity in the West. And they introduced all kinds of heresies. They infiltrated the seminaries, the Bible colleges. And it's what they do. They're an insidious virus. They come over. They work their way in. They introduced universalism. And they introduced the concept to us that we have to save the world. We have to send our best young people to Africa to live among savages, to convert these dark animals to Christianity. And to this day, the churches are infected with this poison. When I was in Bible college, every couple of months, they would have these missionaries in who would preach the need for the calling to go to Africa to preach the gospel to these savages. And, you know, believe me, I didn't know 1% then of what I see now. I was ignorant. I was a young Baptist preacher boy that wanted to do, you know, God's will for my life. And I'd sit in these conferences, and they'd be pleading and showing slides and showing these savages with bones in their noses. And they'd be like, do you want them all to die and go to hell? Do any of you feel the call to go and preach the gospel to them? And I'm sitting in my seat going, okay, do I feel the need? Do I feel the call? Do I really want to go? I'm thinking, deep down, hell no, I don't. But, you know, God, if you want me to go, I'll go. And thankfully, I never, you know, succumbed to any stupid emotion. But people around me would stand up and go down and sign up to go over there. It used to freak me out. You know, I used to think, Jesus, did you really die for these creatures? You know, they were cannibals. I realize now, of course, that was all nonsense. That was a satanic deception. And Yahweh preserved me even in my darkness from wasting my life.
Well, you had an innate desire for truth.
I did. But, brother, I take very little credit for surviving. But when I got the realization that salvation was not for everyone, was only for a select group, I think the verses are in chapter 22 of Matthew, where it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want to say that's Matthew chapter 22. A number of years ago, it became very clear to me what those verses meant. For many are called, but few are chosen. And the revelation that came to me was that the many that are called is being born into the white race. Everyone born into a pure-blooded white DNA person, all of us are called to salvation, but relatively few are chosen. But the calling is to be born into the white race. That's the calling. Forget about the other races. Forget about that. Salvation is not for them. But even among us, few are chosen. And isn't that clear to see when you look at our race across the planet? I mean, yeah, you know, we're waking up, you know, people are coming around, but if you were to put a percentage on it, it's not that much. I wouldn't even put 5% on it. You know, it's a small percentage. But the calling is to be born into the holy seed line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The racial genealogy, tree of life, DNA seed line. That's the calling. There's the tree of life right there. And our response, calling on Yahshua to save us, you know, repenting of our sins, and realizing that we are born into the divine race. There's the being chosen. You know, there's our proper response to the calling. And I'm convinced that in this day that we live in right now, Christian identity is the true Christian faith on the earth. That's why it's so hated. That's why it's defined as a hate crime. You know, that's why in certain countries I could be arrested and go to jail for what I preached tonight with you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we preach that, you know, of course the truth would be hated. Nobody's going out arresting any Judeo-Christians, going to Africa to preach to the Negroes, trying to save them. They'll never be arrested. The Jews celebrated such foolishness. They invented it. 200 years ago, that didn't exist. You know, getting our people chasing their tails. looking at everything but the truth.
Yep, yep. Things have gone belly up in a hurry, that's for sure.
Yet the remnant is being called out, is it not? Even as we see the world imploding around us, there's a remnant being called out, the elect.
Oh, absolutely.
We're being protected. We're seeing more and more. We see the truth. We respond. It's very rare that I want to go on the radio anymore and speak clearly like this. I'll be honest, I just was going to call in and listen. But that's okay. I'm glad I called in and we had a chance to fellowship together. I enjoyed our conversation earlier today too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry your guest didn't make it. I was curious to pick his brain, hear what he had to say a little bit.
Well, I did get an email from him that said he tried and there was no response, which I don't understand. So maybe I've got to. Some people said it's kind of confusing. There is some confusion when you try to join the call via computer, but he was doing it by the phone, and that's pretty straightforward. You dial that number, and when they ask for the access code, you put the access code in. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. But he said there was no response.
I went on my computer to get the information, then I dialed in on my phone. So I don't know. It seemed pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah. Ralph says you never did answer his question about marriage and childbirth in the kingdom. What are your thoughts on that quick before we go?
I believe in the coming kingdom that we will be producing children by the thousands.
You know, that's interesting you say that, Greg. There was a prayer group about 2 or 3 weeks ago that part of the prayer group's, I don't want to call it a ritual. What they go through is a 10-minute period where everybody in the group just relaxes. We play soft music. Everybody just kind of closes their eyes and just sort of thinks about what the topic that we're talking about. And then we come back together after that 10 minutes and share what kind of visions did the Father lay on you? What kind of thoughts came to your mind? And, you know, it's ironic that one of the ladies in that group said almost verbatim what you just said, that she saw a coming earth under Yahweh's law where the wicked have been put in the ground where they belong, have been destroyed, and that there were literally thousands of children. All the men and women's health came back, reproductive health came back, all the technologies that have been suppressed, and where we get real food, real clean air, real good water, and we have these abilities to restore our bodies, and there were children everywhere. Lovely, bright, smiling children who were loved and cared for, taught. And the men were clinging to the legs of the men that were taking them out and teaching them, and they were happy. Everybody was happy. Everybody was productive.
Amen.
It was almost exactly the way you just said it. That's a double witness.
Well, Bo, the Jews have destroyed our women. I, among many things that I hate them for, way up the list is how they have subverted and ruined white women. And you look at white women today and you just want to weep. You just want to cry. You see how they've been trained. And unfortunately, our women, they're pure, they're naive, they're easily led astray. I mean, look at Eve. The greatest woman that's probably ever lived on this planet was Eve. And she was quite easily led astray by a fallen angel. And they have been attacking our women ever since. And today the attack against our women is so completely organized and all-inclusive and starts when they're so young and continues all through their education, and it never lets up. And by the time a young girl is 16, 17, 18 today, her mind is almost gone, you know.
Yeah.
There's no thought of them at that age. They want to get married, be a homemaker, have children. The greatest privilege a woman has in this earth, times a million, is giving birth to white children. That's a billion times more important than her fulfilling some career, getting an education. If she brings numerous white children into this world, she's the most blessed woman on this planet. And yet that innocence has been stolen from our women and replaced with, you know, have a career, get an education, maybe in your late 30s, early 40s, you can think about having a child. The Jew has planted this satanic thought in our women to destroy us, to minimize the growth of our people, to, you know, to harm us. Well, and our women have bought into it, and the men have sat back and let it happen. And
yeah, one of the books
it's a war coming at us from 1,000 different angles, and it's overwhelmed us. Our enemy is profoundly good at what they do. I hate them with a righteous, perfect hatred. I can't wait till we destroy them. May it be soon.
Yeah. One of the books that Mike wrote that we were going to talk about is, the title is Sex, Money, and Power, The Bible Shows You the Way. And if you just go by the title, you might get misled, but we went into a great discussion, and it's very biblically based, and it's a very uplifting book. I got a copy of it, I read it, and we did an interview on it, and it's archived on the website. So, but it basically says exactly what you just said. It's written for the men, of course, but it's also uplifting to the women, because when the men get our poop in one sock, if we ever get our shit together, so to speak, everything is going to be better for everybody, because we're going to restore Yahweh's perfect order and the patriarchal family, and there will literally be a quiver full of arrows for each man, which means anywhere from 50 to 100 children. That would not be unusual. Okay?
Absolutely not. It should be that way.
It's
Yahweh has chosen to populate his planet through us.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
He created angels, but yet he has chosen for us to reproduce, you know, through the man and the woman coming together in a sexual act.
Right.
And who are we to argue with that concept?
Well, exactly. That's what becoming one flesh is talking about. You think about it, when you copulate and to produce a child, you've become one flesh. You can't get a knife between you. So it all makes perfect sense. That's the beautiful thing. Every time I study, in-depth study scripture, it's beautiful because it's symmetry, there's logic to it, there's a hierarchy there, and there's a success path. And everywhere that we failed, we've gone off the path. So the answer to our problems is to get back on the path.
Right. And the early corruption of the creation, when the angels, you know, looked down and lusted after white women, what did they do? They came down and began to have sex with them. And not just with the women, but the apocryphal books detail how they had sex with a lot of various creatures, and you know how weird that got. But the reproductive powers of the angels came down and corrupted the creation, and Yahweh had to bring in the flood to kind of, you know, clear it out. But when things are restored, which hopefully will be soon, we'll fill this planet with children again. There won't be any of this 7-8% of the population white. It'll take off. You watch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the book says a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it's talking about. All the corruption will be taken away. Nothing that offends him will come into the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. And so what's left, it will fit perfectly with his law, and it will not be corrupted. It will be bright, shiny, and new, and it will be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be restored. Hallelujah.
I mean, let me ask you this, Dan. When you're walking down the street and you see a white man and a white woman with a couple, two or three beautiful young white children, don't you just want to, like, I almost want to weep. I'm so happy when I see that. I just realized this is the righteousness of our race in front of me. And conversely, when I walk down the street, and this is what I hate the most, I see a white woman with a black man, and she's got a couple of strange-looking offspring. And I just think, this is a Jewish victory I'm looking at. This is a satanic victory, you know. This is the Jewish norm. This is what they want. They want to destroy us. They want to destroy and wipe out our genetics from the earth. That's their plan, is it not? You know, they've been promoting it for millennia, and it's in full-blown mode right now. You know, it's Barbara Spector jumping up and down.
Oh, wow.
I hate Barbara Spector, by the way. You know who she is, right?
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, I know who she is.
I put dibs on her in the coming age. I'm sure I'm not the first in line, but I kind of have a little dibs on her, you know. Yeah. I want at least a little of her ashes under my feet, please. I got dibs on Chuck Schumer, and I got 8 or 10 others. I don't need to name all the names, but
no,
I've kind of put dibs in on a few of them. You know, I don't need them all, but I want a little piece.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
but I want a little Barbara Spector under my feet in the coming age.
Well, she's proclaimed that you and I should be made extinct, so I think it's only fair that we should wish likewise for herself. It's only fair.
That's right.
So tit for tat, that's what Jews are famous for, right? Tit for tat, play, pay for play, that's all Jewish, that's how they operate, okay? But anyway, I'm running out of gas, buddy. I'm going to have to shove off here.
All right. Well, brother, listen, I'm glad I called in. And, you know, praise Yahweh. And it's nice to touch base with brothers that see the truth. And I should call in more often. You know, not necessarily that you'd pull me on, but I get so isolated up here in Jew-Yorkistan. I just shut down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's I certainly understand how that feels. But you know, thanks for calling in. It was great having you on. I'm glad Cody called in, so you guys can join and
yeah, if you can make that hook up, do it.
Yep.
And I hope I answered Ralph's question about children. I believe there will be tremendous reproductive things going on in the coming age. And when things are restored to the way they should be, I think we're all going to be amazed at what goes on.
Absolutely.
And yet it's going to feel perfectly natural and normal to us. What we're living in right now is not right. It's not normal. It's a satanic world. And I think it's winding down. Hopefully we'll see the end of it in our lifetime.
Amen to that, brother. Yahweh, bless your heart, buddy, and we'll do it again soon, all right?
Praise Yahweh, Brother Dan, and praise Yahweh to all the brothers and sisters that were listening tonight. We'll
Absolutely.
Talk soon.
Take care, buddy.
All right, Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for tuning in. And that was Pastor Greg up there in New York, and our caller was Cody, also from New York, so praise Yahweh for that. Brother Mike sent me an email. Apparently he tried to call in and it was not working. I guess that happens from time to time, so I'll have to run through a practice session with him and then we'll get this thing straightened out in the meantime. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share upon this platform with our brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless Brother Greg and Cody up there in Jukakistan, York. with their Jew governor and their Jew in New York City and the Jewish influence all through that poor state. It's a wonder it even survives. But we ask that you would bless them. Bless all of our brothers. Brother Mike in South Carolina is recovering from that automobile accident, and it seems like he was miraculously saved any serious injury. And so we give you the praise for that. Be with all of your brothers, all of your children, Father, your sons and daughters, as we struggle in these end times. There are many against us. Certainly many that try to oppose your truths, but you did promise that if we will take a stand, that you would be there with us. And we count on that, Father. And we also know that you're the only reason that we can feel any sense of success and any sense of safety. There is no safety in the world of man. We are an adversary to them as they are an adversary to us. But we take our stand with you. When you are with us, who can be against us? And when we are with you, we are a majority. So we boldly proclaim your truth, Father, and the truth will prevail. Those who do not accept the truth, of course, we know they're not going to make it. And so be it. If that's their choice, then so be it. There's nothing we can do about that. So again, thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the days that come. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon, the kingdom to be established, and for the wicked to be put away with, as Enoch and Malachi and Ezekiel and Obadiah talk about, the wicked to be vanquished and done away with, and then righteous to stand firm. And then all of mankind will actually prosper and rejoice as we have a new heaven and a new earth. We ask and pray for all these things in your precious name, and we also ask for protection from our enemies. Hallelujah.